Moi bei Be Well, dem gesunden Podcast zu Lettzburg. Um Mikro, Sarah Catani, Yoga-Prof-Journalistin und auch Mom von Raikana. Und ich sehe immer nicht, ob das sich nur neue Techniken und Praktiken, weil wir uns können mehr balanciert durch Leben bewegen. Und heute gehen wir dann noch ganz tief an unsere Körper. Somatics aus dem Englischen bedeutet sich der Bereich von der Körperarbeit auf von der Bewegungslehre, und zwar wie in das verbunden empfindet und die Erfahrungen dann auch kann betonen. Vielen Dank mal drüber zu schätzen, als Tessie Beckene heute im Studio. Schönen guten Morgen.
Guten Morgen.
Du bist eine ganz heitliche und körperorientierte psychopädagogische Beraterin und somatische Coach. Mhm. Also schon der Teil natürlich ein bisschen auf deinem Site gelesen, den hat auch ganz flott gemacht. Du bist spezialisiert auf Neurodiversität wie ADHS-Beratung, Coaching, Traumaverarbeitung, Bindungsproblematiken und auch Hypersensibilität. Und du hast dann noch im Master gemacht an geistischer Behinderungen und Entwicklungsstörungen. Und du schaffst dann noch seitdem an dem Bereich Diagnostik, Beratung und Begleitung von geistischer Behinderungen, aber auch ganz spezifisch von Lehrschwierigkeiten, Autismus, ADHS, bis zu auch Hochbegabungen, alles, was du auch damit verbunden hast, im emotionalen und familiären Plan. Und du nimmst dich dann noch mit deiner eigenen Vergangenheit eben auch mehr befasst ist, an einer Bindungsverletzung und auch Traumaverarbeitung gemacht ist, da gedacht, ich muss da ein bisschen in eine andere Richtung gehen. Also ich meine, der Background ist ganz klar. Du hast auch ganz lange mit vielen Leuten noch geschafft und hast da eine neue Orientierung. Und der geht mehr in Richtung eben somatische Coaching, gekoppelt dann aber auch mit traumainformierter Beratung, weil es das ja als Background hast. Und wir switchen noch auf Englisch, because that's the language that actually works for you the best. For me, yes. It works very well too. And that's also how you came to the somatics. So to all of those things that we're going to talk about today. Could you explain to us a little bit, because this word is actually quite new, especially in this part of the world. What does it mean?
Yes, exactly. Somatics is something that hasn't really arrived in Luxembourg yet. But the word, so soma comes from, it's an old Greek word, and it means the body. But the old Greeks, they didn't distinguish between body and mind. In soma, it's all of it is included, all of it is in there. And so in somatics, we work with what we call the body-mind, all of it. We don't exclude the body, but we also don't exclude the
the mind.
The mind and the prefrontal cortex of the brain. But we look at all of it and the entire expression of our nervous system and, yes, what we sense, what we feel, and then also what we think. And we try and be with those things in somatics. So when we talk about somatic coaching, what we do is, as a coach, I have an approach of I am there to help people with an issue that they have, a problem that they have, something where they are blocked, where they are, they don't know how to move forward. They have to make decisions or choices and they don't know what to do. Or they are just, their head's turning all the time and they can't find a solution. They can't get out of this brain fog. And what I do then is I bring them into connection with their bodies again, because their intuition, their
gut feeling,
exactly, because that's the authentic us. That's not so influenced by all the things, all the ideas that are happening around us, all the ideas that we are influenced by, all of the things that other people think we should do.
Yeah.
Or what
the
other
society.
People, exactly, what the society wants from us and our belief systems, but it's really what we can feel inside. And that's, that's the basics of somatics.
It sounds quite easy as like, okay, Joe, I just do this and I connect to my body, but actually how we live our life today, I'm talking about including me, in this part of the world specifically, we are completely disconnected to our body, isn't it?
We are very disconnected. Many people are very disconnected. Our society, the way it works, mm-hmm. does that to us. It expects it from us yeah. as well. Our whole educational system is based on the head. What mm-hmm. can you do with your head? Mm-hmm. The thinking.
Problem resolution.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Problem resolution. And we are very, very early on, we are already told not to listen to our bodies, to mm-hmm. sit down when we actually want to move, to know you're not going to the bathroom right now. No, mm-hmm. you're not going to eat when you're hungry. You're not going to have a drink when you're thirsty. So we are taught to suppress our bodily expression really early on. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the way our societies are built, we are taught not to listen to our bodies. Also in our everyday lives, our lives are very busy, very stressful. We don't have time. No mm-hmm. one ever has time no. for anything.
Yeah.
And in somatics, we come back to being rather than doing. It's not the busyness of life that is important, but it's the being with the sensations, the emotions, and letting that wisdom that is in our body, that intuition, letting that come up and letting it tell us what it is that we really need. And that takes a little bit of time. But with a bit of practice, there's lots of little moments during the day when you can actually, yeah, put some practices in place that just take a couple of minutes of like, just, you know, check in. What am I sensing right now? Mm-hmm. What am I feeling right now? Mm-hmm. And just without trying to interpret it, without trying to find a story around it, to just be with that. And then something's going to change. Something is going to evolve. That's what we call the felt sense, because that is
felt
something.
Sense, like in I felt it and I didn't think about it.
Exactly. The felt sense is something that is, it's not an emotion mm-hmm. and it's not a sensation, mm-hmm. but it's kind of.
It's not a thought either.
It's not a mm-hmm. thought either. It's the in-between of those things, the whatever happens after something happens. So when you, for example, when you just go outside and you are just looking at a sunset, mm-hmm. it makes you feel good in a way, but it's not a sensation that you feel. And it's also not an emotion, but it's just a very pleasant feeling. Mm-hmm. That's the felt sense. And we have felt senses all the time throughout the day. We couldn't get through the day without them. But then they're not very specific and we don't stay with them.
That's what I mean. We don't really acknowledge them.
We don't acknowledge them. And also they are constantly changing.
Mm-hmm. It's not every day the sunset.
No.
So it will be easy.
No. Mm-hmm. No. But it's also, it might be that something after a big emotion comes, because emotions as such, they don't last very long.
No. It's like a roller coaster.
We think about them for mm-hmm. a very long time, and that's why they sometimes get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
But an emotion as such is quite quick, actually. But after the wave of the emotion crashes, what is there now? What is there? And that's also the question that I ask people when they come to coaching. What is there? Mm-hmm. What do you feel right now? What do you sense right now? And just be with that. Because it might not be what you think it should be. And that's the big thing.
But how do you get there? Because you told me before, so it's not like a yoga class. It's not like a specific a set of things that you do or how you do them. So what is it? Is like guided? How can we imagine like a session?
Yeah. A coaching session, it's based on the principles of coaching. A person comes to me and wants some kind of help or support with an issue that they mm-hmm. have. And a session is always client-led. So the person, I go with whatever they bring.
Yeah.
And I also tell them, you know, you are in the lead as a coachee. Yeah, and you tell me where we're going and I'm going there with you. And I might ask some questions. And in this process, I will feel also into, well, what's here in the bodies. So I will bring that to you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about something that might be bothering you or that has been problematic and has been bugging you, I will bring you to the body in that moment. And I would say something like, as you are talking about this, what are you sensing right now? What are you feeling right now? How does that feel? Where do you feel it? And we stay with that for a while. We're not trying to interpret it, but we're just staying with that. And then obviously we have practices that go a little bit deeper. So we have a focusing practice, for example, in which that also has a lead-in. We start with a body scan and we take you into the body, and then we will just see what is the body telling us about this issue that you want to take into the body. Or we have other practices where we just let the body lead, in terms of we also step onto a marker that says something and we'll just see what the reaction of the body is.
Mm-hmm.
And the amazing thing about it is that it's very often surprising.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine. So it's because you don't go, I mean, it's like you don't expect anything,
mm-hmm.
and then you get an answer, if you get it, because it's also sometimes you have to let go probably to get the answer. And then you can be quite astonished about what comes out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you let go of your expectation, or also if you let go of the pressure
mm-hmm.
of like, well, there has to be something. Mm-hmm. I have to feel something mm-hmm. right mm-hmm. now, because which that's what expected from
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah.
If there's nothing, then that's fine too. Mm-hmm. The thing about, so when we talk about the connection of the brain and the body,
mm-hmm.
It's connected via the vagus nerve, the biggest nerve that we have in the body. So information is transported from brain to the body and vice versa. And when we look at the amount of information, then about 80% of the information is going from the body into the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And only 20% is from the brain into the body.
Mm-hmm.
However, the information that travels from the body to the brain is slower.
Mm-hmm.
And we often don't take the time
mm-hmm.
to listen to it.
But also because we were kind of brought up that way. Because
yeah.
if I just like look into different cultures,
mm-hmm.
I'm quite familiar with the Indian culture, and not everyone, of course, again, a big country, but I have the feeling sometimes that especially in my family-in-law, people talk much less
mm-hmm.
and feel much more what's happening, you know, with their body too. And I have this feeling that you've been to Kenya, you worked there for some time as well. It's again a very different culture.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow we all have it in us and we just forget. So that's what we are trying to do in somatics, to get it back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all have it in us. If you look at children, they're very embodied.
Yeah, yeah.
Young
yeah.
children,
yeah, yeah.
They're very good at somatics. So
yeah.
Because they listen to their urges and they don't actually have a choice, because that's the only way they know how to communicate. If an infant is has pain, is hungry,
yeah, sure.
What they do is they communicate
yep.
it. And yeah, as we grow older, as we grow up, we learn to suppress all of that. So there's not many people in my surroundings who are actually really true to their needs, to what they need in a moment.
Because we don't know also. It's not because we don't. You say we learn how to suppress it, but at some point we don't even know anymore.
Yeah.
So we don't know. Am I hungry? Am I not? I mean,
exactly.
Is it just because I want to eat that, or is it because I'm actually hungry? I mean, that's like a basic thing. So
yeah.
When it comes to bigger stuff, I mean, sometimes I see myself, it's a funny thing, because like you have to choose. And instinctively, you know what you're going to choose, but somehow you still think you should choose the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So there's the mind going and coming, going and coming. In the end, you're taking the decision, the first one that you were, you know, the thing that you felt, you're going for that. But there's this whole process of the mind, you know, coming into it. Oh, no, but I should not. Or is it really the best option? No, 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 no.
And the thing is, if we don't go with the first thing that we felt, but we try and rationalize it and we go for something different, we actually trust that more now, nowadays.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Because we are constantly told that rationalizing is a good thing and that's the right thing to do and that we, you know, you shouldn't show your emotions and, you know, that also starts with the way we grow up. Girls are allowed to cry, but they're not allowed to be angry. Boys are allowed to be angry, but they're not allowed to be sad or they're not allowed to cry. We are told what kind of emotions we're allowed to have and which ones we have to suppress. So we're also told a lot that the thinking mind is the important thing. And it is important in many ways, but it is not the one thing that is true to what we really need because it is influenced by so many other people's thoughts about how things should be or how our society thinks should be.
But where do you start? You see what I'm saying? Like if now you're listening to this and you're like, okay, I agree with that, but where do I start? So, okay, you can start with somatics. You can start somewhere. I read on your website that you also go outside a lot. So that's always a good thing to connect again to where we actually come from. Because in our daily life, we are very much also inside. So is that something that could already be like a start?
Absolutely. I mean, I am a big fan of nature. That's where I feel most connected to myself. Also because I know that, you know, the trees don't judge me. They're there with me. I'm also a big water person. In the water, I feel at home. Whether the water is hot or cold, doesn't matter. I go ice bathing in the winter. I go kite surfing in the summer. But this connection to nature is, if you allow yourself to just be, you can actually feel this rootedness, this groundedness in this is how it is to just be and to just sense and feel what's right there in that moment. There is no time. It's really important also for me to not have any screens there, to also be really disconnected from the busy digitalized world and to really connect to what I find is just happening in nature, in the forest. I spend as much time as possible in the forest, in the water, at the sea, wherever it is. But it brings me really back to myself, and I can also switch off the thinking monkey mind.
Jumping from one tree to the next.
Exactly. But
so do you bring your clients to the forest as well? Or is it like something you do inside, online? I mean, how does it work?
I have all modalities available.
Okay.
I work online a lot also because sometimes, especially at the beginning, when people, I mean, it's a reality. I'm not judging it at all. I know, and I'm busy. I'm rushing around a lot as well, and so I give people the option of working online if that is convenient for them. It works quite well online, and sometimes it's just easier to do it that way. But of course, there is an argument for working one-to-one in person because there's a certain attunement that happens with nervous systems. Yeah. Working with each other, regulating each other, and you can really feel into this connection a bit more. And in those moments, I can also work with people it doesn't have to be 1 hour. It can be 2 hours, 3 hours, doesn't matter, because we are there and we're in the process and in the moment of this work together. And if people are ready and willing to go outside, that's my favorite thing to do, because it does take us back to our more natural state. And being in the box of a house is obviously protecting from certain things, but it is also disconnecting us from our aliveness and our real aliveness. And I think that is really the core of somatics, feeling fully alive. if we're always just rushing around, we constantly do, but we are not really in our aliveness. And I think it's really important to come back to that. Not all the time, doesn't have to be all the time. Although the more we practice, the more we can be
with everything
all the time.
The more you do it, the more it becomes part of you.
Yeah.
I wanted to know a little bit about your work with kids and with younger people, because that's what you were doing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, as kids have it, and then suddenly there's this school system and whatever other system, and then we lose it on the way, and then we become adults and we try to find it again. But if you're working with kids, I mean, is that still something that is more close to them, or how does that work? I mean, specifically, so they have already kind of like issues coming up.
Yeah. I mean, when I work with children as a somatic coach, I don't work with children alone. I work with them in the system of their families.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, we've talked about the school system. That is one system that disconnects us from our bodies. but that's not the only one, of course. And there's a lot around, the way we are raised that changes a lot in the way we can be connected. If already at home there are moments and situations of difficulty, of there's stressful times, there's disconnection, and as an infant you might learn that whatever you do is not enough to get the attention that you need or the attunement that you need with your parents, then you might learn more intense behaviors as well. And as we say, you know, neurons that fire together, wire together, those could be leading to difficulties that might later develop into what is often labeled as something like ADHD. And that is not to blame anyone. I always assume that everybody does absolutely the best they can.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes circumstances are just the way they are, and things happen, and children make the experience of feeling abandoned, feeling lonely with whatever they experience. That's how early developmental trauma can develop. And so I feel like there's a lot of work that we can do if we work together. There's all of this collaboration. No one exists in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Of course, when adults come to me, and
you're not going to work with their parents because, yeah, it's of course I get it.
It's very different. But if an adult comes to me and says, "I would also like to work with people in my system,"
yes.
I'd say yes, of course.
Yes.
But with children, it doesn't matter what intervention you do, especially when you're looking at a child with ADHD, for example, no matter the intervention, it is not helpful if it's not like there's a child that we have to change something. We have to change some screws adjust the child so that it's well adapted to the environment. That's not going to work. It's not helpful. And it is a lot more helpful if we work with all of the contexts of that are around this child with the parents, maybe
but
also
still
with
in
other
the body people. Then I mean, what we're talking about is still going back to the body.
It's not like a
mental approach.
I see a very deep connection to the body because the body is very expressive. So when I see a child that is so overactive that it's disturbing other people, but also it might not be good for its own.
Mm-hmm.
It is the body, it is the nervous system expressing something.
Mm-hmm.
And it is expressing it so loudly because we might not have been able to listen to it before. And then that becomes the normal way mm-hmm. of the nervous system. But the child might be under stress constantly, and that is the child expressing, or the nervous system expressing that it is stressed in one shape or form. And so taking the time to really come into these moments of, what is it that I'm sensing right now? I am becoming aware that I'm moving constantly. And so what am I feeling? What am I sensing in my body? What is it? Can I name it?
Mm-hmm.
That is something that is missing for many of us. Just the words
yeah.
to express our emotions. I mean, we all know I'm sad, I'm happy, I'm angry, but there's so many other words that can be used also for the sensations inside of us. And it helps. It really helps if we could just say, well, actually, this tension that I'm feeling in my stomach, it's really tingling and it's bubbling upwards and now it's spreading out into my legs and it's, wow, this is really quite uncomfortable. Can I stay with this discomfort, or is it becoming too much so that I have to, you know, find a technique to ground myself again and to stay in the present moment so that it doesn't take me into a situation that was overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Our aim is not to go into overwhelm, but it is just to see how does it feel. And most of the time when we do that, it already changes into mm-hmm. something.
Become aware of that, and then mm-hmm. it changes into something.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the body shows us also what we can do. I'm
yes.
saying, like, we should maybe move.
Yeah.
Or we should get up yeah. or sit down.
Exactly.
I don't know. And whatever it is, it can yeah. can happen.
When we talk about just normal, you know, just imagine a situation that made you angry, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
If you come back to, what was I actually feeling in that moment? I got angry. How did that feel?
Mm-hmm.
You might have felt something like, I'm getting really hot in my face. And
yeah, okay. mm-hmm.
I feel that my body is becoming activated and I want to do something. And I feel some energy in my arms and legs and I want to do something. I want to react. Well, obviously, I would never advise anyone to then use that energy to really, I don't know, punch
yeah,
someone
yeah,
or punch the wall.
Something over, yeah.
But I would say, well, your body is becoming activated to do something. If you suppress that, that activation stays in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wreaks havoc.
Mm-hmm.
If that happens, obviously, okay. over time, or if it's just a really intense situation. So,
how
you know, liberate
it,
get mm-hmm. it out of the body,
mm-hmm.
out of the body. That might not be the solution to what it was that got you, that
angry.
Made you angry, but it still tells you a lot about how you and your nervous system function. And the more you learn about how you function, the more you can adjust and regulate in your daily
and
life.
And that doesn't mean that you won't get angry anymore.
No.
That's the point.
Anger is a good thing.
That's the thing. Because some people might think, okay, then I can, like, I will not be angry ever again. That's not what happens. It's just that you can regulate it and that you can sense it and you can act out in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, we were talking about the body giving us all the information that we need, but we cannot really access it because we don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
So somatics can help us to find out how. We talked about kids, but what now about adults who have, for example, pain in their body or who have like something, you know, like the body is literally telling you something, but you don't know what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Or a pain that comes back, you know, or I don't know, some kind of feeling that comes back in the body.
Mm.
What happens there?
When we feel into the body, if there's something that is painful, that's usually where our attention goes first, obviously. And we always have to consider it as the body is trying to tell us something.
Mm-hmm.
The body is trying to give us information to take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously there's different kinds of pain. I mean, if I put my hand on the stove, for example, then I feel a very intense pain, sure. and the body's telling me, just take your hand away. Off.
Sure.
And I should react, obviously. Mm-hmm. Now, then, you know, there's chronic pain as well, which, I mean, generally, if you have pain, don't suppress it. Mm-hmm. That is the main message. Go and look okay. after it and try and find someone who can help you with that pain. It can be a medical issue. It can be an emotional issue. It can be a trauma issue, something that is from a long time ago. I, as a somatic coach, cannot give you the solution to your pain, not necessarily. But we can definitely feel into, well, what is this trying to tell me? And then obviously look for a person who is specializing in the field that is necessary, medical, psychological. Sometimes I just feel back pain because I've been sitting on my in my chair on my desk for too long. And when I go outside and I move and or I go for a swim, it goes away. Mm-hmm. Sometimes pain, especially when it's like headache, mm-hmm. it's definitely a message from my nervous system telling me that something might just be enough for now. Mm-hmm. Or it's telling me to, you know, go to sleep. Or it's telling me to I might be overwhelmed or stressed. And it's just really important to actually feel into it. And sometimes just the fact that you do that changes it. But if you keep suppressing it and you keep rushing and you keep stressing and you keep disconnecting, it will probably get stronger. Mm-hmm. So in general, and I say this to people also, this is the thing with physical pain, but this is also very importantly the thing with emotional pain. It doesn't go away.
Yeah.
It, even if you try and
really hard,
if you try really hard to ignore it, yeah. to push it away, it's not going to go away. Mm-hmm. It is going to come back, maybe in a different form, mm-hmm. maybe
in a stronger form,
in illness, mm-hmm. autoimmune disease, burnout. Maybe you just become really aggressive in general and you just, you know, piss everyone off in your life yeah. because yeah, you're yeah. just snapping at everyone all the time. Mm-hmm. But pain isn't going to go away. So it's always, the message is address it. Mm-hmm. And it might be painful to address it, mm-hmm. to really look at it, but it might also be very painful to carry it with you for the rest mm-hmm. of your life.
So the only way out is through.
Yes, gently through, not, yeah. you know, yeah, not yeah. like eyes closed, just uh-huh. running for it.
No, I get you. Yeah.
But yeah, mm-hmm. gently, but the only way is through. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and there you can definitely help. Because yes. as I read also, it's like this co-regulation. So it's not that you're there with all the solutions, but you're no. doing it together.
Yeah. I mean, I assume that a person has everything he, she needs mm-hmm. to find a way for themselves. I don't consider myself as I am the expert and you're the one who doesn't know anything about yourself because... That would be,
yeah, it would be quite.
It wouldn't be helpful, and unfortunately, mm-hmm. there's many professionals out there who think of themselves like that,
and people think like that too. I mm-hmm. mean, they're like, okay, you tell me about myself, because yeah. I don't know. Uh-huh.
So that's why I ask people, what would you like to explore today? Mm-hmm. You bring mm-hmm. the thing that we're talking about, and we also always say the thing is rarely the thing.
Right.
But we'll find that out in the process mm-hmm. of our...
But then there you have the tools and then you can guide. So this is really like, I get it. I think it's also different for everyone.
Yeah.
Whatever happens is yeah. very different. Mm-hmm.
And there is no set way of how things should be. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that should happen or that has to happen. But co-regulation is a very important process. We are social beings. And sometimes... just having someone there that you trust or that gives you safe space or who can reflect something back, that maybe your own words, maybe you just said something that if I repeat it, you hear it from someone else and it sounds like, oh, that landed strongly, that landed differently. Uh-huh. Is that what I actually, okay. Mm-hmm. It brings you new, new perspective. And and that's why this process in with someone else is very important, because and in all of our professions, we all say I can't be my own coach. Mm-hmm. No therapist can be their own therapist. That's just how it is, and no one can go all through all of these processes by themselves. That's the basis of our one-to-one, but also group work. Sometimes group work is really, really helpful as well.
Yeah, so like in a group, and then do you do that too?
Yes, I do. I do workshops. Mm-hmm. I am in the process of setting them up at the moment. They are partly online. There will be some in person as well. I'm thinking of, we're in Luxembourg here, so they will be in Luxembourgish as well. And in English, I will always offer both. Since I also still work with professionals that speak English. And yeah, I think in group work, I did a workshop in December that was online. Mm-hmm. And what we did was a constellation. Mm-hmm. So basically it was... in a constellation, I ask people, what is your goal, for example? What is your goal or something that you, your desire, something that you wish to achieve? And then you put out certain markers, pieces of paper where you write down things about, you know, just you yourself or your goal, where you want to get to, and you write down your options. And each one of the participants, it was online. The workshop, and each one of the participants was in their own process. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing what emerged out of it, and from the feedbacks from some of the participants that we got, because they were there in this space together and each one of them was still in their own process. But also the conversations that emerged in between when people share, that's not new knowledge. Being in a group, when people start opening up, amazing things happen. And they regulate each other, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's so much knowledge and wisdom out there from all of their bodies and all of their nervous systems. I really enjoy that.
And you want to bring it a little bit more to Luxembourg, because it doesn't really exist much here yet. I mean, it doesn't exist probably, but it's not so known. Mm-hmm. Where does it come from? It's more from the somatics. Does it come more from an English-speaking place, or do you know where it emerged from?
Yeah, in the English-speaking world, mm-hmm. it is quite known. It is common. There is a lot of work that has been done also in trauma research, mm-hmm. But it comes from many different areas. So there's Gestalt psychology, mm-hmm. that uses some modalities. There's neuroscience that feeds into it. Mm-hmm. So it is based on all of these things. It's not esoteric. It's not... But it comes from the neurosciences. And in the English-speaking world, it is a lot more established already than it is here. So here in Luxembourg, when I say I am a somatic coach, people... generally don't don't know what that is.
Maybe they do now.
They're interested and they want to know more. But it's not the modality is not it, it you know it, there, there's nothing mystic around it. There's nothing incredible in the sense that I don't believe in it. Mm-hmm. It just is. It's mm-hmm. it's basic science, mm-hmm. really. It's neuroscience. And yeah, one of my goals definitely is to make it more known, because I think in a more embodied world, if we live in a more embodied world, we live in a much healthier world, and a world that is a lot closer to our true selves, with our true needs. We can be more compassionate with ourselves and with others. We can understand them better. So, for example, nowadays when I say, I want to meet up with friends, and we set up a meeting, and on that day, I'm actually not feeling well. I have a headache. I don't feel bad about saying I'm not going to come, because I am listening to what I need in that moment. And when my friends are embodied people as well, they will understand. They will not make me feel bad about it. They will be like, yes, you know what your body needs right now. You might need rest. You might need, you know, it's just to, you might get sick. So I feel like it's going to bring more compassion. And it's also going to release us from this need to please others all the time. And I think that's we do a lot of things, not because we want to do them, but because we think other people want to do them. And we think we need to please them in order for them to love us. And I think here the aspect of self-love comes in, that is a lot more important than the love of someone else who doesn't love us for who we truly are. Who we really are. If I have to change myself
for someone else to love me, then
that's not the right kind of love. And so being more embodied, being truer to myself, means I give myself that love.
Thank you so much. We could go on for hours.
Yes, we could.
And maybe we will, but we will stop the podcast for now. And if you want to know more, and if you maybe want to go deeper into your body, you can look up somatics. And specifically, if you want to get in touch with Tessie, then terrasomatics.com. And we also find you on social media and all of that. Yeah. Today, we all have to do that.
But we have to do it. Yes, there is. You'll find me on Instagram. You'll find me on Facebook, Terra Somatics. I have a website, which is terrasomatics.com.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And be well. Auf dieser Platz noch ein großes Merci im CMCM für diesen Podcast. Und wenn ihr wollt Feedback losgehen oder weitere Informationen, bewell@mosquito.alu.